Good morning and welcome to Ebenezer Baptist Church of Buckley Online. This is Pastor Richie. If you have your Bibles today, I would ask you to open them to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 23 through 29. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 23 through 29. Today we will be continuing in our study on having a foundational faith. And in doing so, we are once again going to look at the life of Moses. And in looking at the life of Moses, as we have for the past couple of weeks, we have seen the difficult decisions our faith will call on us to make. And we've discovered that when we choose to live our life right before Almighty God, then we'll quickly see that our faith will at times call us to reject certain things. For instance, as we saw so powerfully displayed by Moses, that faith will call us to reject the world's prestige. Again, looking in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Again, Moses was adopted into the family of Pharaoh and therefore was given the title of the Prince of Egypt. So he was in a place of power, a place of prestige, and yet the Bible records that he refused or rejected it all for the plans of God. Not only did he reject the prestige of the palace life, but he also, in verse number 25, the Bible tells us he rejected the world's pleasure. Then verse 25 says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." The lifestyle that was set before Moses was one of sinful pleasure. And though it may have been enticing and alluring, he once again chose to reject the world's pleasures for the treasures that awaited him in eternity. Along with the world's prestige and the world's pleasures, we also discover that Moses was willing to, by faith, reject the world's plenty. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Again, all of it was his had he chose to accept his title that entitled him to everything in Egypt. And he rejected it. And lastly, we learn that faith will call us to reject the world's pressure. Again, verse 27 says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, he determined, as seeing him who is invisible." If you remember, Moses was under a tremendous amount of pressure from not only Pharaoh, who wasn't handling the rejection of his offer too well, but Moses was also feeling the pressure of from his own peers, as the Israelites weren't convinced that Moses was the man that they were waiting for to be their deliverer. And despite the pressure that Moses encountered by faith, he continued to trust God and do as he was commanded to do. And that's such a powerful picture of what faith is and does. Faith, if you remember the acronym, faith stands for forsaking all, I trust him. And that's exactly what Moses did. He was willing to forsake all the prestige, forsake all the pleasures, to forsake all the plenty, as well as the pressure, and he totally trusted the Lord. Again, these are the things that we have learned from the life of Moses that faith will call us to reject. Well, today, we will once again look at the faith of Moses and the life of Moses, and in doing so, we're going to see that our faith will call us not only to reject certain things, as we've already learned, but it'll also call us to accept certain things. Today, in looking at the faith of Moses, we will discover some things that faith will call us to accept. And the first thing we're going to find is in verse number 23, faith will call us to accept the Lord's plans. Verse number 23, "By faith," the Bible says, "Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Again, the parents of Moses, Amram and Jochebed, they saw that their son was a proper child. They weren't afraid of the king's commandment. We see the same kind of rejection of the world's pressure that we saw last week in their son Moses. We find it again here in his parents. They too, when faced with the pressure, they weren't afraid. Now, if you remember back in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 16, Pharaoh had put out a decree that all male Hebrew babies were to be killed in order to help with population control and thus power control. And if a family didn't comply to this horrific command, then they too would be susceptible to execution themselves. But this decree did not faze Amram and Jochebed, again the parents of Moses, from fulfilling God's plans. Instead, despite the fear and the pressure, they took their son and they hid him as long as they possibly could in their own home. You say, well, weren't they afraid that the soldiers would find their child and that they would all lose their lives? Well, no, absolutely not. Because it says here they never feared Pharaoh. They believed God and the plans that God had regarding their little son. Now, it's interesting, the word proper that we see here in verse number 23 that's used means beautiful. And it's a very significant word. It's so important we understand this because it doesn't mean what we automatically think of when we hear the word beautiful. This word has nothing to do with his actual physical appearance. Moses' mother and father, Jochebed and Amram, they weren't those proud parents that thought that their child was the best looking child ever to be born in the land. This wasn't a term of pride or one of a boasting proud parent. In Exodus chapter 2 verse 2, the Bible records that he was goodly. In Acts chapter number 7, the Bible records that he was exceedingly fair. And the literal Greek translation for these terms means that he was fair unto God. The child, baby Moses, was fair unto God. So what does that mean? It means that God had especially set his affection on their child. God had chosen Moses in his sovereign plan for such a time as this. And his parents knew that God had a plan to use their son. And they accepted whatever plan that was. And so they, again, have been told by God, this child is fair unto me. He is set apart for a special service. And they knew they had to hide their child. And they were willing to risk their own lives to do what God said. Simply put, their faith accepted the Lord's plans. And they were determined to follow through with them no matter what the cost. And so without fearing, they took their child as God had told them to do, and they kept the child in the house for 3 months. Now listen, that's not easy to hide a 3-month-old baby, but especially with the circumstances involved surrounding the decree of Pharaoh during those days. But yet, despite all the circumstances, they obeyed. And they did as God commanded. Their faith accepted the Lord's plans. And if you remember the story, there finally came a time when they could no longer keep their son hidden. So they put him in a basket and they placed him in the river and they sent him downstream. And of all places to be found, he ended up right where Pharaoh's daughter came down to take a bath. And she found the basket. She found the baby. And the Bible says that she had compassion on him. And she took him as her own son. And in a complete miracle of God, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, was given the privilege of nursing her own son for Pharaoh's daughter. Now you see, if you think about it, it took a tremendous amount of faith to hide their baby boy. And it took a tremendous amount of faith to place the child in the basket, in the water, and let him go. But you see what God did? God honored their faith by bringing the little baby right back and giving Jochebed the privilege and the joy of nursing, loving, cherishing, raising, and teaching her very own son. And in doing so, she was the one who formed him into the man and the leader that God had planned. She was the one who taught him the messianic hope, the promise of Abraham given back by God in Genesis chapter number 12. She was the one who taught him everything that became fulfilled in his life as he eventually led Israel out of slavery. Now you know something? It took a tremendous amount of faith to go out on a limb like they did, and to believe God, and to hide the baby, and to send him down the river like that. It took a tremendous amount of faith and complete trust, but they obeyed God's plan, and thus they accepted it. You know, one thing is needful and absolutely essential in the Christian life, and it's a word that we see over and over and over again as we've examined these passages of Scripture, these great events throughout the hall of faith found here in Hebrews chapter number 11. And doing so, we've seen the power of this simple word, and that word is obey. You see, God makes the plans, and we walk by faith in them and complete obedience. And so the parents of Moses illustrate the life of faith and how it accepts God's plans despite the difficulty. It doesn't matter what it is, you accept it. They weren't afraid. Why? Because they believed God and thus obeyed. Again, our faith at times will call us to accept the Lord's plans. Not only to accept the Lord's plans, but our faith will call us to accept the Lord's provisions. Look at verse number 28. Verse number 28 says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Again, considering the faith of Moses here in verse number 28, if you remember, when Moses commanded Pharaoh to let God's people go, Pharaoh hardened his heart, resisted, and thus God plagued Egypt by turning the water into blood, by sending frogs, the dust, the gnats, the flies, the death of domestic animals, the ashes, the boils, the hail, the fire, the locust, the darkness. And finally, if you remember, the 10th plague, God sent the death angel and all the firstborn of Egypt whose doorposts were not covered by the blood of a sacrificed lamb died that night. Even Pharaoh's firstborn died. Again, Moses believed God that this plague would take place as all the others had. And so he told his people to make preparations and how God was going to make a provision for those who accepted his plan and followed in obedience. God said, listen, there's going to be a provision for you if you will kill a lamb. And he gave them all the instructions about the lamb, to take the blood, to put it on the doorposts. And the death angel would come, he would see the blood, and the Bible says that he would pass over those homes that were covered by the blood of the lamb. So you know what the people that believed God did? By faith, the people accepted it. They accepted his provision for the protection from the 10th plague, and they obeyed. And their obedience delivered their firstborn from death. And this amazing event became a beautiful picture of the future provision that God would ultimately make once and for all of mankind, when the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, would be shed on the wooden post that made the cross of Calvary, where Christ suffered, bled, and died for the sin debt of the entire world. You see, Moses believed God for God's provision. And that's exactly what faith does. Faith always accepts God's provision and doesn't try to add anything to it or take anything away from it. Moses didn't say to God, God, listen, I've got a better idea. If you want to add something to this plan that may make things a little bit more appealing to the people. I mean, Moses didn't try to improve upon God's plans for his provision. He didn't try to add anything to what God said was his prescribed plan. He didn't go to God and say, God, this sounds great, but let's make this a little bit more personal by having the people go and do something kind for their fellow neighbors first, and then have them go out and do a few good deeds to improve their status somehow. He didn't try to tell God that, God, this plan would be even better or improved upon if everyone would first be required to attend a religious ceremony in order to make it more official, or fulfill a list of religious requirements first and then apply the blood. No, God made a provision, and Moses didn't add anything to it. He just did exactly as God prescribed. And that plan was efficient and thus sufficient. You see, God has made a provision for the souls of men, women, and children for today. And it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God said, don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Simply accept it. It is finished. In Acts 4:12, Paul writes, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Actually, that was Peter, I'm sorry, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, now Paul speaking, says, but God commendeth, which means he proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so we see that by faith, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you've applied the blood of Christ. And his blood covers our sin once and for all. The blood of Jesus was and is sufficient for the sin debt of the entire world. But listen, it is only efficient to those who will apply it in obedience. Are you following me? Though the shed blood of Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, satisfied the wrath of God, the debt was paid, it is only effective, it is only efficient if you apply it to your own life personally. It only covers your sins and saves you from the wage of sin, which is death, if you actually, personally, accept the gift that God offers you. You say, well, how does a person accept this gift of forgiveness that God offers? Well, it's simple and yet sufficient. It's as simple as ABC. In order for anyone to be saved and come to God by his prescribed plan, first of all, a person must A, admit that they are sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to admit that we are sinners. Our sin separates us from a holy and righteous God. Not only must we admit that our sinfulness and our own personal need to be saved, but we must also believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the debt that we owe for our sins. Again, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth. That word commendeth means he proved his love towards us, and that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt. The Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb, was shed on the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt of the entire world once and for all. And we have to believe that Christ's death was sufficient. He died, the Bible says, he was buried, and he rose again to make it possible for us to be forgiven and have the hope and promise of heaven in eternity with Almighty God. Again, we've got to admit that we're sinners. We've got to believe and understand that. And then the Bible tells us, in display of faith and trust for salvation, we must see, call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, anyone, anywhere, anytime, no one is excluded. If you are ready to come to Christ, acknowledge, to admit that you are a sinner, believe that Christ died for your sins, he's buried and rose again, you're ready to return from your sin, repent of your sin, and turn to Christ, if you will call upon him, the Bible says, God will save you. And at the end of the sermon today, if you realize that you are ready to apply the blood of Jesus to the doorpost of your soul and be saved, then again, you can make that most important decision that so many millions before you have made, to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And the good news is that when you do so, you are saved. You are forgiven. And that is once and for all. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we clearly see faith accepts God's provision. And that's the difference between faith and works. Works tries to work up its own provision. Faith just says, God did it, I believe it, and that settles it. Faith always accepts God's provision as well as God's plans. And the last thing I want you to see today that faith accepts, it also accepts the Lord's promises. Look at verse number 29. Verse number 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying. And that word assaying means attempting to do were what? They were drowned. Now, to better appreciate this powerful verse and see the promises of God fulfilled, I want us to spend the remainder of our time today looking at Exodus chapter number 13. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 13. And we will begin in verse number 18. And we're going to work our way all the way through chapter 14 to see the Lord's promises fulfilled and how by faith Moses accepted them and thus obeyed them. Again, Exodus chapter number 13, we'll pick up reading in verse number 18, and I'll take you through to verse 22. In verse 18, the Bible says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Here we find Moses leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, and we are reminded of the faith of Joseph that was able to face death and overcome because he believed God. And so we read here how his bones were taken with him out of Egypt, as he said they would, and they made their way toward the promised land. In verse number 21, we read that God, in a great display of his presence and promises, leads the people through the days and nights in the desert by a cloud to cover them from the heat of the day, and by a pillar of fire to guide them and warm them through the cool desert nights. Again, this is a wonderful picture of the promises of God's presence to never leave us nor forsake us. And so he leads them. And then in verses 1 through 12, just to kind of give you an overview, we read how once again the hardened heart of Pharaoh got the best of him, because he decides to follow after the Israelites and he plans to bring them back and to once again make them serve as slaves in Egypt. And so he pursues after the Israelites, and the Israelites, they recognize, they see the Egyptian army and their chariots closing in on them, and they begin to panic. And we pick up in verse number 13 in Exodus chapter 14 to see once again the promises of God. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Moses, he reminds the people of the promises of God, of how God will be their salvation, and how God will fight for them and will deliver them once and for all. He says, "Fear ye not." Time and time again, we are reminded throughout Scripture that if God is for us, then who can be against us? With God on our side, then we really have nothing to fear. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10, Isaiah 41, verse 10, I would encourage you to write that reference down. Again, it's a great passage of Scripture, the promises of God. It says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." That word dismayed means discouraged. Or don't look away from God and look to another for protection. He says, "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Psalm 27, verse 1. Again, another verse to write down and reference to look up. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Bible says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And so we read here that Moses reminds his people of the promises of God, and he commands them to stand still and see for themselves. Now, it's interesting to note here this phrase "stand still" and what it means. It's not an idleness of just standing around and waiting, but instead it carries the idea of a readiness or a preparedness to move forward at any moment. And it's a great picture of what faith looks like, because as we've so clearly learned from the study on having a foundational faith, the word faith is an action word. A true Bible faith is never stagnant. It is always active and moving forward in complete trust in order for it to grow. And so it must be exercised. And it's here where we read of how the Israelites exercised their faith in one of the most miraculous events ever recorded in human history, the parting of the Red Sea. Let's read about it in verse number 21 through verse 31. "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even on the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry ground or dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Here we read of how Moses and the people of God, they accepted his promises and his plans to deliver them by faith. And by faith they obeyed them. And thus God delivered them from the pursuit of Pharaoh by parting the Red Sea. Again, this event reminds us of the importance to remember God's promises, even in the face of fear. And thus trust the Lord, who is our deliverer. Again, Hebrews 11:29, the Bible says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Moses was a tremendous man of faith. His faith called on him to make some very difficult decisions, as we've so discovered. Some of those decisions led him to reject the world's prestige, to reject the world's pleasures, to reject the world's plenty, as well as the world's pressures. But at the same time, his vibrant faith called him to accept certain things by faith. He was called to accept the Lord's plans, the Lord's provisions, as well as the Lord's promises. Again, Moses was a man of faith. He was willing to forsake all and trust him. You know, earlier in this message, we looked carefully at how God has made a provision possible for us to be forgiven for our sins and know that we are going to heaven. Let me ask you today, have you applied the blood of Jesus to your life? And have you personally received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Listen, if not, please carefully consider the consequences of delaying such a decision. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life, as many of us know so well, is but brief. And then, in an instant, it's over. And we know not when death will come. The Bible tells us that it will come unexpectedly, as does a thief in the middle of the night. And so we must be prepared. Let me ask you, are you prepared today? If the death angel were to pay a visit, where would you spend eternity? If you're not sure today, listen, I want to encourage you. Today you can make sure, you can know that you're going to heaven. Again, how? As simple as ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Christ died for your sins. And see, call upon the name of the Lord. See, if you're listening today and you are ready to make that decision to accept Christ and God's provision for your salvation, then it's time to apply the blood of Jesus to your own life to pay the sin debt that you owe. And again, if you're ready to call upon the name of the Lord, I'm ready to pray with you right now, lead you in prayer, and do what the Bible says. Call upon Jesus. Accept him as your Lord and Savior and be forgiven. If you're ready to do that, I'm going to have you repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I know you died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and you rose again. And today, I ask you to come into my heart. I repent of my sin. Please save my soul. Thank you so much for saving me. Help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you've never prayed it before, you meant it with all your heart, well, good news is the Bible says you've called upon the name of the Lord, you've been saved. That word saved means forgiven. Once and for all, you belong to Almighty God. For those who are already saved, let me ask you, what is your faith calling you to accept today? Is there a Red Sea in your life that you're facing that God is calling you to step up by faith and trust Him? Is there something so significant in your life, so overwhelming, so massive, that you simply think this is impossible? Listen, the God of the Bible is the God of the impossible. Find comfort in His truth today. Listen, when with the divine calling comes the divine enabling. Where God guides, God provides. Whatever God is calling you to do today, trust Him and overcome the fear by faith. And be comforted by the presence and the promises of Almighty God. Let's pray. God, again, we thank You so much for this message from the life of Moses today. We've learned so much from his faith, God. Not only there are things that we are being called on to reject, but as we've so seen today, God, there are things that our faith will call us to accept. Lord, help us to be quick to accept Your plans. God, help us to be quick to accept Your provision. And God, help us to be quick by faith to accept Your promises. Lord, help us to be like Moses. Help us to forsake all and simply trust You. Thank You for this great example. Lord, help us to be obedient as Moses was obedient and to live by faith. And we want to have a faith that simply pleases You. We love You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you again for listening to today's sermon on having a foundational faith and looking at the life of Moses. We look forward to gathering together again next week around God's Word. But until then, stay encouraged, stay connected, and God bless.